Okay, so today we're going to talk about the Kardashians. I feel like I said that weird. Kardashians. Kardashians.
That's right. It's a long word, and I'm so excited.
Are you excited? Okay. I'm hoping that you will win me over for them, because I'm not a fan.
Okay.
So I wanted to say, though, thank you to everybody who's hearing this in your ear holes. I know that's such a gross way to say it, but I like it. Thank you for supporting us on Patreon. We love making these. We like... I don't like saying love and making in the same sentence. It bothers me.
Stick out for me. Well, but now it does.
Now I'm all creeped out. But thanks
you
for supporting
You were super
us.
Creepy today, but thank you. I'll take over.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, guys. Emily's mind is in the gutter this morning. We're having a hard time.
This is Emily Thomas, and you are listening to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. Hey, welcome back. You are listening to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. This show is dedicated to helping you not run away from home. And each week, I'm going to do my best to make sure that you learn something new, laugh a lot, and remember that you are already enough. This is episode 140, and this week, my guest is Beth McCord. Before we start, though, I wanted to remind you that at the top of the show, you heard a little snippet of the Struggling Sisters show. So twice a month, my sister Katie and I release extra content for Patreon supporters. So if you want access to the behind-the-scenes additional content, or if you just want to say thank you and help me cover some of the costs associated with making you a favorite podcast, go ahead to patreon.com/momstrugglingwell. So this week, I am talking to Beth McCord. She is an expert on the Enneagram, and the Enneagram is one of those personality tests. And I like personality tests. I really do. This one changed everything for me. And I'm not trying to be dramatic. It really has changed my relationship with my daughter and my relationship with my husband. It helps me have grace with myself. It's just so good. So I wanted to talk to her about it, and we are going to get into all the details, and she does a great job of explaining it. So let's go ahead and jump right in with that, and then we'll talk more at the end. Hi, Beth. How are you this morning?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm really good. It's really rainy here, so aww. I love it.
We actually have sunshine, which I love.
Well, good. We're both happy.
Yes.
So will you introduce yourself and your family to us, please?
Yes. So I'm Beth McCord. I live in Nashville, Tennessee, or just outside it. And I have a husband, Jeff, who, as you'll learn later with the Enneagram, is a type 6 on the Enneagram. And we've been married almost 23 years. We got married when we were 20. We have two kids. We have Nate, who is a freshman in college. He's 19. And we have a daughter, Libby, who is a senior in high school, who is going to be 18 here in just a couple months.
All right. Wow. So you sent one off to college. What was that like?
Oh, it was great, actually. And we'll kind of get into this, I'm sure, with our, you know, discussion about using the Enneagram and parenting and all that kind of stuff. But knowing that my son is a type 6, and for those that know the Enneagram well, he's a social 6, which means he really likes to follow the rules and can be cautious and dutiful and gathers advice and tries to move forward in the best way. Now, he's still a teenager. but I knew that he had a really good head on his shoulders.
Okay.
And he does come to us for a lot of advice. And so it didn't worry me as much as if I didn't know who he was and if I didn't understand where he was coming from.
So the Enneagram helped you send him off to college confidently.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so let's just start with, for somebody who has no idea what it is, because I've started talking about it more and people are always like, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
So tell us, what is it? Where did it come from? Let's just start there.
Okay. So the Enneagram, the word Enneagram, so Ennea means 9 in Greek, and gram means diagram or drawing. And if your viewers were to see the symbol, it would look like a 9-pointed star inside of a circle. Now, of course, for us Christians, it's like, ooh, what is this? You know?
Yeah. Do people say, you know, this is devil's play?
Right. Yeah. Like, no, it's just a symbol that represents a map, and it's a map of our internal world. So I like to describe it as kind of like our internal GPS, because we do use all 9 Enneagram types to some degree. I mean, obviously we have a dominant type, and then we have all the way down to one that we hardly use at all. So anywhere in between. And the symbol is going to show you the lines in it are different paths we take towards other numbers, and we can use attributes from different types. So there's all these different layers and nuances that I've tried really hard with my online courses to really make simple and easy to understand. So if you think Shakespeare being really hard and complex, and then you get the Cliff Notes version where you're like, okay, finally I understand it. That's yes. what I do in my courses.
Yes. And I've taken them and it's true. You really do.
Good. Good. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So those that are interested, but I don't want to take all the time to read and figure it all out, just watch my courses.
Yes.
The first one would be discovering you, and then you move into exploring you or exploring your type to go deeper into who you are.
I have a question though about, I understand the wings I don't know if you're going to get into all that, but how do you find the one you use the least? Is it just a pattern that you trace on the star thing?
Yeah. And it could be something like you're just trying to avoid, you don't like, you have a hard time being around.
Is it the same for everybody? Like, I'm a one. So does a one not use the same other number consistently?
No, okay. Not necessarily. Yeah. Okay. All types. And there's several layers to it. That's why in this podcast would be way too complicated to kind of show how that would be, because our one who might not like to be, let's say, usually spontaneous and mm-hmm. flexible and just go with the flow and be super creative. There are ones that actually are drawn very much towards like 7 and 4, because that's where their lines go. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, there's other things that ones can use. And so it gets into a lot of the layers. And so we want the ones to grow, especially growing towards 7, the high side of 7, mm-hmm. where they can be childlike and experience grace versus being rigid. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the high side of 7, of joy and abundance and childlike, not childish. That's a whole different category. That would be, you know, getting to the not healthy side. But then also the highest side of 4, which is creativity and depth. We want ones to experience that. And they do, especially when they're in nature. Ones typically really love nature, because nature, it is what it is. There's no right or wrong.
Okay.
And so it helps the ones to experience God's creativity. But yeah, so there's so many layers to it. So it'd be a little bit too hard here to explain all of that.
Oh, for sure.
But then, so how people can see it as a GPS, the Enneagram, how it's different from the other personality systems is that it's telling you why you think, feel, and behave in particular ways. Mm-hmm. And you're doing this because you're avoiding your core fears and you're striving after certain core desires. Like, you think this cannot happen. Like, this is, if this happens, like, my whole world's going to crumble. Or if I don't have this, life is going to be hard. Now, it's not true in a sense, but that's how we see the world.
It sure feels true, right?
Oh, absolutely. And so if we think of all the personality types as each person having a different colored glasses, or let's say sunglasses, and you and I have different sunglasses, I'm a 9, you're a 1. And if we were to look out the same window and see the same cars and trees and everything, we would see those things, but fundamentally from a different viewpoint, like mm-hmm. a different perspective. If we switched lenses, we'd be like, oh my gosh, that's how you see it?
What's wrong with you?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I had no idea.
I'm married to a 9, by the way, so I get it.
Oh, so you get it. Yeah. And that's why it's so frustrating for each of us to be with other people, especially of other types, because we think everyone sees the world from our vantage point, but they really don't. And so the more we can understand why people think, feel, and behave in certain ways, and what their core fears and desires and all the like kind of nuances, we can have more compassion and understanding, mercy, forgiveness, and love for others. Yeah. Now, that doesn't mean we just go, oh, sure, it's fine, just be that way. It helps us to understand why they're doing it.
I think that for me being a 1 and there being a right and a wrong, when someone does something I don't understand, I assume it's because, like, we attribute negative intentions to their actions if we don't understand. They just have a different perspective.
Exactly. Yeah. And so this helps us to go, okay, wait, let me take a step back and try to see it from a different vantage point, or their vantage point, if we know their type.
Yeah.
And that loosens up the grip of the personality of being so tight and rigid, which really kind of pulls us in directions that are not helpful for us or others. You know, it's just, it has ramifications. But if we can loosen up our grip and try to understand where others are coming from, we're going to be in a better position to have lasting, longer, and deeper relationships. So what I like to call it is, don't commit a suicide. And a suicide is like killing the relationship based off of wrong assumptions.
Yeah.
But they feel real. They absolutely feel real. But the more we understand ourselves and how we assume incorrectly, but also see how others view life, it's like, oh yeah, they just would not think in that way. That's just not their personality. Then it helps us to go, oh, okay, so let me reorient how I'm seeing this from the right perspective versus just my assumption.
Yeah. Are you hiring? Every business needs great people and a better way to find them. Something better than just posting your job online and hoping the right people see it. ZipRecruiter knew there was a smarter way, so they built a platform that finds the right job candidates for you. ZipRecruiter learns what you're looking for, identifies people with the right experience, and invites them to apply for your job. In fact, 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. And ZipRecruiter doesn't stop there. They even spotlight the strongest applications you receive so that you never miss a great match. The right candidates are out there. ZipRecruiter is how you find them. Right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/MSW. That's ZipRecruiter.com/MSW. ZipRecruiter.com/MSW. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. What I like about it is that it doesn't feel so boxy like most personality tests. It feels more growth oriented.
Oh, absolutely. I also tell people, if you think about the Truman Show, and that's really exactly what it's like. So Truman is born in that dome world, that false world. And that was his perspective. Like, this is life and this is real. And all these people are real and the circumstances are real, but everything wasn't real. And whenever he tried to wake up from it, they made up stories to keep him contained and constrained. And then when he tried to leave, they did everything almost to the point of killing him to keep him boxed in. The Enneagram is there to shed light on what's true and to free you to step out like he did in that black door, to step out into the unknown. Now, it's scary because it's like everything we've ever thought and believed was from this one perspective, but there's so much more. Now, it doesn't mean our personalities are wrong or their perspectives are inaccurate or wrong. What it's saying is that when we are average to unhealthy, that is not the best for us. The healthy parts of our personality are amazing, and we reflect God in very unique and beautiful ways, which is the body of Christ, right? We need all of us to bring ourselves to the table in a healthy way to really attribute wonderful things. But it's the lower parts that constrain us. And so what I do as a coach is I'm trying to help my clients to see where they might struggle and the thought processes that come up and the feelings that entrap them and what then freedom looks like. So they're still being their same type. They're still like, you would still be a one, but we want you to move to the healthiest place of one where you feel free and you're then blessing others.
Yes. Okay. So is the Enneagram background a biblical foundation, or is that something that you've brought in? Because it completely makes sense. I shouldn't know if it's always been.
Right. Well, how I see it, so the background of the Enneagram, there's a lot of places where it's kind of touched or come from. I mean, it's going back to several thousand years. Okay. You've had some Sufis and desert fathers and mothers and monks and mystics and kind of all over the board. And how I like to show people is that it's neutral and that it's how the human psyche and our inner world works. And so depending on how you view the world or your religion, people can easily take it over into that direction. Okay. Now, because my worldview is, you know, that Christ is our savior, my husband, who's a pastor, we've spent the last 15 years when we read stuff to then translate it into a gospel-centered perspective.
Yeah.
And to me, it makes total sense, you know, and how Christ is our firm foundation. He is the one that sets us free. The Enneagram is a tool, but the transformation is Christ.
Absolutely.
And so this is just to shed light, to give us understanding, but it does not bring the transformation. It just brings illumination and awareness.
I love it. Okay, so I have a question about, I mean, obviously this is your jam, this personality, you know, test or framework or whatever. How do you know there's not more than nine? And how did you decide this is like the very best one?
Well, I mean, I didn't decide there was just nine.
Oh, yeah, I know. I know.
Yeah, it's just come down from all these generations of using the symbol. And there's so many nuances to it. like everyone does fit into this system. Now, the cool thing is as people pull the layers back, because some people are like, how are there just nine types? Like, look at all the billions of people and we're all so different. And you're absolutely right. And when you go through my course, you'll see there's things called wings, which is the two numbers on either side of your number. So I'm a nine. So I have the one and the eight as my wings and I pull in attributes from them. Or some people do that a lot. Some people do it very little. So I do it a lot. My father-in-law, who's a nine, does it very little, and we can look very different.
Okay. So what are you more, a one or eight?
I'm more of an eight, okay. But I use a lot of one.
Okay.
I use them both a lot, but in my just everyday kind of going around life, it's eight.
Okay.
And then like for me, I have the lines that go to six and three. And when I'm under stress, I'm going to pull into some of the attributes of six, where I get anxious and worried, testy and defensive, where the nine typically is super laid back and let's not worry, let's all be okay. But I can act out in that manner and it gives me a heads up of, oh, wait, something's going on. Like I'm struggling. But then if I'm growing, I can move to the high side of three and become more assertive and self-confident and just move towards my own personal growth and know I have value. And we move towards both the high and low of those numbers as well. But that's just an example. And so depending on how I'm using just those four numbers that are part of my type, how I pull into them, it makes, you know, my whole personality, it's a unique blend of a type nine. And then there's even more layers to that that we won't have time to get into.
Can I ask a question about, because I understand, you know, in stress, you move to the one number and then and when you're healthy, you move to the other. I didn't know you could do the high and low side of both of your...
Yeah. So when I do my Exploring You course, or I do it also in person or as an online course, depending on people's budget, I walk through all four paths, which means you can go to the high side of both the numbers you're connected to and the lower side. So for instance, when I go to under stress, I'll go to the six when it's not doing well, but I also go to the lower side of three and it's called security point. Okay. And what that means is I usually act like that only around family and maybe a close friend. So the people that you let your hair down and they say, you don't act like this with anybody else. Those are some of the things that are going to kind of leak out. But what it's showing us is that we actually need to move to the higher side of that personality. But because it's hard to, these other things kind of leak out. So for instance, I, as a nine, do not like people bragging or showing off and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So I never do that. But with my family, I might say, hey, guess what I did, you know, and kind of, you know, brag or show off, but I would never do that outside the family unit. And so this gives me a heads up of, you know what, there are other ways that I can promote what I do and it not be arrogant. Yes. It can be serving others by saying, this is what I offer, so that others can be invited into a space that God's called me to. So it's showing me that there's a higher place to that same thing.
So
and
good.
Then going to the highest side of six for me, we call that the missing piece. Now, each personality type has two lines and there's all of these, you know, highs and lows. Mine is six for the missing piece. And the missing piece is after I've grown towards that three, I can move to the highest side of six where I will move in towards adversity and push through it and grow. Whereas a lot of nines are like, oh, this is too complex or hard. I'm out.
Yeah.
I will continue to move forward. But when I take people through, I show them very specifically how their type moves in all of those directions, because each one of them is so important. The security point is actually really helpful for especially couples, because that's like blind spots for all of us. And so the things that our spouses may have said that bother them, we're like, wait, what? I never do that. That will come more into light. So that's a really helpful piece as well.
That is so fascinating. How in the world do you keep all this straight?
I always tell, like, my husband's like, yeah, somehow she just got me. Like, I just got it when I started. So whenever I learn this stuff, for some reason, it's kind of like the Matrix when they have that screen with all those green digits. And it's like, what are you looking at? And the people see whatever it is they're seeing. That's kind of how I feel about the Enneagram. I just somehow see it. Okay. And it all just makes sense. So I think it's just God wanted this to be my thing.
I love it. I'm not sure if you have allergies and asthma in your family, but I definitely do in mine.
So there's a company called Molecule, and they have updated the technology that we use to purify our air. The last time the technology was innovated was in the 1940s, around the Second World War. Molecule introduces a new science that is actually capable of destroying air pollutants and not just holding them on a filter. It's also able to destroy pollutants that are 1,000 times smaller than the filters can trap. I grew up with asthma and allergies, and I remember waking up really scared as a 5-year-old because I didn't know why I couldn't breathe. Well, Molecule makes a big impact on people who have asthma and allergies. One customer who had really bad allergies even said that she was able to breathe through her nose for the first time in 15 years. That's a really big deal. When we can breathe, it changes how we sleep, which changes how we live our lives, right? So Molecule's technology has been personally effective and verified by science, but most importantly, it's been tested by real people. Molecule's already helped allergy and asthma sufferers around the country better cope with their conditions and significantly reduce their symptoms. Molecule is giving $75 off your first order to my listeners. Visit molecule.com, that's MOLECULE.com, and at checkout, enter code MSW. That's molecule.com, coupon code MSW. Up until pretty recently, I've been terrible about taking care of my skin, but I've been using BioClarity and wanted to tell you about it. It's clean, green, it's gentle, 100% vegan, and cruelty-free. It's also got this plant product called Floralux. It's made from chlorophyll. Let me help you understand why we should care about that. Floralux is proven to nourish the skin and soothe away imperfections and blemishes. It's an antioxidant, it's anti-inflammatory, all that good stuff. It's basically like a green juice drink, but for your face. They have a couple different skin routines. I've been using the breakout prone skin one because of every 30 days I break out, if you know what I mean. So it has 3 easy steps: cleanse, treat, and restore. It contains plant extracts like chamomile, green tea, cucumber, licorice root, plus that great Floralux stuff. It helps fight breakouts, soothe skin, minimize redness, reduce pore size, and even out the skin tone. Best of all, BioClarity is delivered right to your door. Get started on healthier habits with your skincare. Just go to BioClarity.com. Mom Struggling Well listeners are going to get their first month for half off, plus the shipping is free. It comes with a 100% risk-free money-back guarantee, but you have to enter my code MSW. That's BioClarity.com and enter my code MSW. Okay, so I have a question about, there's like the wound from your childhood and that kind of, What informs what? Like the chicken or the egg? Is it nature or nurture? What's going on?
So I would say my personal perspective, and I would say a lot of Enneagram teachers feel that we're born with our perspective or our bent, because we all come with a certain energy. So each type has a kind of a certain way they come into the world, they perceive the world. So I believe we come into the world with our personality, but it's our circumstances that shape how we see that, those circumstances and everything. Okay. So for instance, like if we are born into a family that's really great and very helpful and beneficial, then we are going to be able to move into adulthood with a lot more tools and resources to enter into that stage at a healthier place, or at least, you know, close to it. Yeah. But if you grew up in a family that is dysfunctional, destructive, damaging, there's just going to be a lot more hurdles, and you're going to have, you know, received messages that are much more destructive. But that doesn't mean we can't grow. In fact, we can do a lot of growth and work, even if we grew up in really hard families. My husband's parents, who were amazing, didn't do a lot of like training and disciplining and parenting. And so he's had to do a lot of that work on his own. But he's done the work and he's at a completely different place than he was when he was, let's say, 20.
Okay.
So this will help you to know where your pitfalls are and where you get stuck. So, and then not only that, where your best path is. So that's why the Enneagram is so helpful.
How have you seen this change people's lives?
Oh, I wish people could be with me when I coach. I mean, it's just so much fun because, like I said, the Enneagram is a tool that brings illumination. Mm-hmm. But the gospel does the work. Like I said, I take people through 5 guide sheets through my Exploring You course or in person. And when I get to do it in person, to watch how they come in the first one is just so amazing because they're stuck, they feel confused, you know, they don't understand. And then through each of the guide sheets that break down their personality into bite-sized lessons, we take it step by step. And by the 5th session, where we really then start to talk about implications of God's grace for their type. I mean, it's just like they're like this whole new person. Mm. They feel so much freedom and
it's
grace.
Almost like hearing the gospel, yeah, like specifically for you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that is my whole point because, So my brother was with a Jesus Film Project many years ago with Campus Crusade for Christ, and he would actually go to the countries and record the translation and then bring it back and sync it with the lips as much as he could so that when they saw it, it looked like it was their mother tongue.
Yeah.
And so that means so much more than just reading the subtitles.
Yes.
To hear it. And so that's really what I'm trying to do, is to bring the gospel message to each person for who they really are, not just from a nine's perspective, my perspective.
Yeah, that like literally has given me goosebumps. I love it.
It is so fun because it's like this master key that unlocks the door to anyone's heart, and you just watch them soar. And so, again, it is the gospel that frees them. I just get to be a participant, which I absolutely love.
Yes. It is funny how it's all fun and games when when you're talking about someone else and their personality type. My husband and I were sitting together doing this course, and he was laughing so hard at all the things you were saying about ones, and he was like, that is so you. But then when it came to him, and he was talking about you were talking about nines, he like all of a sudden got red, really red, and he was like, what? He wasn't mad. He was just like embarrassed. Oh, yeah. Like, she knows me.
Yes, yes. Oh, and you feel so exposed. And that's why, for me, it's very important when people use the Enneagram that they're very gentle with it, that that you can't use it as a sword. You can't go, oh, you're being such a nine or you're being such a one, because it can really be damaging because it's just so exposing to the core. But you also don't want to use it as a shield where you're like, well, I'm a nine. I'm laid back. Mm. So sorry. You know, we have to do our own work, but we also have to be very gentle with other people. And when we do it that way, it literally transforms relationships, marriages, families, workplaces, because we each feel seen and heard and understood. Not that people are saying, oh, it's okay to do those things that are not helpful. Mm-hmm. It says, I'm here for you. I understand why this is a struggle. I may not fully get it because I'm not your type, but I see you and I understand.
Yeah. It really helps me with my husband because he likes to, well, I mean, you would understand this. He doesn't want to pick the restaurant because what if other people want to do it? Yes. Even on his own birthday, I'm like, where do you want to go eat? He's like, I don't know. What would you and the kids like? I'm like, for heaven's sakes, it's the day of your birth. You get to pick. Anyway, but to say like, you know, you matter. You're worth it.
Yeah.
I'm currently trying to get him to pay for a shoulder surgery he needs, but he feels bad about it. I'm like, it is your arm. You know?
Yes. Ah. Yeah. This is important. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the neat thing is by learning how each personality operates and what really is kind of their Achilles heel or thorn in their side, to learn how to then pray for them or hold them up or encourage them from their perspective is so powerful. Because as a nine, we will keep, oh, no, it's okay, or no, it's okay, I don't need that. But for someone to keep lovingly and patiently saying, no, you matter, you matter, you matter, it's like after a while you're like, oh, well, maybe I do matter, you know, and the person might be so frustrated, like I've said it 10,000 times, but it's for any of us, it takes so long to get past what we thought was reality, like the Truman Show, like that was his reality. And until we fully wake up, we just don't get it. But once we're awake and we see the promise of the gospel and the transformation that it will do to us, then we almost can't stop like Truman. It's like, I have to get free. I cannot be in this situation anymore. Now, we still get tripped up along the way. Until we go to heaven, it's not like, oh, we found it, done. Mm-hmm. But we have now the tools and the resources to help us stay on our best path versus going off course.
Yeah. Okay, so talk to me about parenting.
Yeah.
Finding out that my daughter is an eight was really helpful for me because it all started making sense. I don't know if ones and eights typically clash, but they do in my house.
Well, I mean, yeah, they will. And in a sense, eights are going to clash with all types.
Everybody.
Yeah. And I mean, that's part of the nature of being an eight. Mm-hmm. But the cool thing is once you understand really the core of the eight, I mean, as a nine, I used to be afraid of eights or any other personality that would have a lot of or has no problem, you know, saying what needs to be said and very bluntly. So it's not just eights. There's other types that will do that. But eights especially, you know, they're just very say it like it is, bold, direct, confident. And in fact, to not be that way is hurtful to them, because then you're not being honest. And if you're not being fully honest, you're betraying them, which is their core fear, is to be betrayed, harmed, at the mercy of injustice, to be weak or disempowered.
Yeah, my daughter's favorite animal is a snarling wolf. Does that not totally fit?
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
I stopped making her want to like butterflies after I found out she was an eight. I'm like, okay, fine, snarling wolf.
Yes, exactly. And their core desire is to protect themselves. So that's the lens that they see the world through. But eights are some of the most tenderhearted on the Enneagram. And it's because their hearts are actually so tender that they put up this really strong front, a strong shield. Like they literally feel like there's this metal armor right in front of their chest. Because to hurt them is absolutely and utterly devastating to them. And so they would rather always have the shield and protect them and to look tough and strong and to not be affected than to be hurt and wounded like they can be. And so if you understand how an eight works, you'll see that a lot of the reasonings that are happening is not because they're trying to be abrupt and mean and harmful. It's for protection. And once we get to that understanding and how for them to learn how they come across, because a lot of times they have no idea how strong they come across, like just no idea. And people always say to them, you know, you're kind of intimidating or whatever. And they're just like totally stunned. Like, what are you talking about? But as we work with the eight and show them to stay strong, to stay who they are, but to be more tactful or to redirect how they do it. So I call eight snowplows. And
that fits.
Yeah, I come from the Midwest, and we need huge, massive snowplows. And like this winter, as we've seen in the Northeast, there's so much snow. Like you have to have these huge, giant machines to push all the snow. You can't just get shovels out. And so we need these people. Yeah. But when they're like Martin Luther King Jr., they will plow a path for others. They'll put the others behind them. Now, there's lots of people in the civil rights movement, but he was the front. And he took on the opposition and took on all of the pain in the front of it. No, not all of it, but, you know, he was the front runner. And so that's what I try to show eights, like, be mindful of who's in front of you. Because a lot of times they're very task driven, like, okay, this is what we need to do. And they go. And a lot of times they don't realize that they're nicking cars on the side, you know, or sometimes plowing over them completely because they're so focused on what needs to happen. Yeah. But they really are doing it because their heart is wanting to protect others or help others. Okay. They just are sometimes not seeing the little people underneath that big machine. So we have to take the time to show them, okay, here's the different people that are in front of you at different times. And this is how to encourage them to get behind you and to understand you. So then you can plow the path for them. And so all of our types have that kind of weakness. Like there's things that we do that we think are so natural or should be the way they should be, but they totally are not. And how to then reorient ourselves. But yeah, so she thinks that she is right because ones and eights are black and white.
Yeah.
Ones do it out of ethics and morals and principles. Eights do it because they have their own code of ethics. And if those two don't line up, that's a real battle right there.
Oh my gosh. Yes, it sure is. It sure is.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, it helped me realize that she is not just out to get me and up to no good.
Yeah, exactly.
So helpful. Right.
Yeah. And a lot of times we will misread each other, but people can misread the eight because they're so strong and blunt as if they're trying to attack or challenge. But a lot of times they're trying to gather understanding and they're really wanting to protect. That's the big thing. It's not just that they're not out there just to be a challenger, to be against. They really want to protect and move the ball forward for others. It's just when they're not doing well, they don't realize how it's actually harming people in the process. So a lot of it's just helping them to see the whole pattern.
Yes. Which is how it helps all of us, right? Like I didn't realize that being incredibly inflexible and rigid was not the best way to be or the way everybody hoped to be. Turns out it's just me.
Or like, shouldn't we be that way? Like if everyone else was this way, then it'd all work.
We would get so much more done, guys. Come on, let's get on board. I want to tell you about some sheets I discovered from brooklinen.com. So I did the math, and we spend 1/3 of our lives in our bed. And our sheets make a difference in how we sleep.
And moms are tired and they need to sleep well whenever it is that they get to sleep. So a husband and wife team started Brooklinen 4 years ago, and their philosophy was, we need the most beautiful, comfortable home essentials without the crazy prices. A lot of bedding is marked up as high as 300%. What? I don't feel like paying that. Brooklinen is the fastest growing bedding brand in the world. Because of all that, they have over 20,000 five-star reviews. What I love is their patterns and colors that you can mix and match, and they have pictures that help you if you're like me and you can't quite figure that stuff out. This is luxury bedding underpriced. So my Brooklinen sheets are the best, most comfortable sheets I've ever slept on. Brooklinen.com has an exclusive offer just for Mom Struggling Well listeners. You get $20 off and free shipping when you use the promo code MSW at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so confident that you're going to love them that they give you a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all their sheets and comforters. Are you kidding me right now? The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use the promo code MSW at brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com. Promo code MSW. Brooklinen. These are the best sheets ever. Okay, so how would you suggest people find out what their kids are? Because a lot of times the questions are they're too complicated for kids to understand.
Yeah. So I'll give an example of kind of how it's been like for me, because we've been doing this for now 15, maybe a little bit more, 15 years. So our kids were like 3 and 5 when I first picked up the Enneagram and really started using it. You know, when you first start with the Enneagram, you start wanting to type everyone and you think you know it and you think you can see it. And the more I get into it, the more I realize I don't understand people from the outside. I really have to ask good questions and then let them type themselves. You really cannot type someone else. Like, you think you can, but trust me, with all the layers that pop in, people would be shocked. So try not to type people. Okay. So when it comes to doing that with children, you're right. They're not old enough when they're younger to be able to nuance their heart. And if a family has never really talked about their inner world or how they feel or how they think, it's going to take the kids that much longer to get there. But if you can first look at your kids and eliminate some types, meaning like, I knew my son was not an 8. I knew he was not a 4 and a 5 and a 9 and a 7 and a 3. I then kind of held different numbers, the 1 and the 2 for sure. And then the 6. So when he was younger, I thought, is he a 1 or is he a 2? And there was all these reasons. And I would try to ask him questions like, okay, Nate, are you being really helpful because it's the right thing to do? Or is it because it's what's helpful? And he would look at me like, both? Like, you know, he didn't know, you know, he was so cute. I think that was when he was like maybe even 9, you know, and I'm like dying to figure this out. But then as he got older, I saw him be a lot more cautious. And then as I grew to understand the Enneagram more, I realized, oh, 6s are a great blend of several or many types. And they they're the most complex, and they're the two sides of a coin. So they'll always say, well, it depends.
Interesting.
Are you this? Well, it depends. So anyway, with that being said, 6s, especially the subtype my son is, that looks very much like a 1 and a 2.
Okay.
And so as he got older and I had him take the test, I think he was 13 or 14, but again, we'd been doing a lot of inter-dialogue, you know, about our thoughts and feelings. So at that age, and he's kind of always been an old soul.
Okay.
So at that age, he was able to take the test and clarify what was true.
Okay.
And he was like, yes, he's a 6. Now there have been times I'm like, are you sure you're not a 1? Because the rigidity can really come out in him, but then also the 2. But then when you take a step back and you look at the 6, especially his subtype, the social subtype, they're called duty. And he wants to do what's right, not be blamed and targeted. He wants to be there for people because he's loyal and faithful to his friends, et cetera. It's like, oh, this all makes sense. So I would say kids between probably 13 and 18 can start that dialogue, just again, depending on the work the parents have done with them.
When I took it with my daughter, I just kind of like changed the words, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But also she's an 8, so it was so pretty obvious.
Yeah. Some are a lot more obvious. Some can be a little bit more challenging to find their types. The other thing is like, so with my daughter, I thought she was a 9 or a 2. And she ended up around 14 taking the test and us talking it through. And it said she was a 2. And she was like, And she read it and she's like, oh my gosh, yes, that's so me. And I was actually surprised because all growing up, she looked so much more similar to me. Okay. But it made sense because she was mirroring her mother.
Which is what they do.
Right. And so it's hard. That's why another reason why you want to just be careful and not typing your kid. Now, I could eliminate several types, but I held loosely several types.
Okay.
And so that's just a really important factor because now what happens, what you'll see is when they're in their teenage years and early 20s, their personality comes out in full force. And like, that's why all of us parents are shocked. Like, wait, what just happened? Like they used to be like us and our family and blah, blah. And now they're like totally different. Well, it's because the personality is really coming into full force and the way the record player that's in their mind for that type becomes louder and stronger. And so all that being said, now there's a few resources that people can use. My Discovering You course, if they're, again, in their teenage years, maybe a little bit older, that is a great course for the family to sit down, have some popcorn, pizza, whatever, have some good laughs.
Oh, for sure. Yes.
And watch it. It's 2 hours. So it's, you know, it's like if you're watching a movie and just make a fun night out of it.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. So that's a really great resource. There's also a workbook that comes with it. So each of them would have, you know, in front of them what the types are and what I go over. And then the next thing is there's also a book called The Enneagram Made Easy.
Okay.
And it's by Elizabeth Waggle. I think it's her last name. It's a yellow book and it's got some cartoons in it. So this would be a little bit more helpful for any age, really. I mean, it's a great book for any age. And even when the kids are younger, you still probably aren't going to be able to nail down their type until they're in their teenage years.
Okay.
But at least you'll give words and kind of show what the different types look like as they're getting older. So those would be two things that I would kind of recommend.
That's so good. So what is the next step if they take your, you have more than two courses though. How many do you have?
Yeah. So I have Discovering You again, which you're going through how the Enneagram works. So when I was talking about those wings and how the lines work, and all of those things, but it's very simplified. So even kids can understand. I take families through it myself. Then in that same course, we go through all nine types in a way that's understandable. And then once they pass that, then they can go through either my online version or my private coaching of called Exploring You, where we do a deeper dive into your type. So if the family is like, okay, cool, like my family, I have a husband who's a six, a son that's a six, and a daughter who's a two, and I'm a nine. If we did know the Enneagram and we were coming to my website, yourenneagramcoach.com, and are like, okay, let's all go deeper. Then we would each purchase our own course, except for my husband and son could share the type six because they're the same.
Mm-hmm.
But you would purchase your own type course because all of the coaching and the guide sheets are custom to your type.
Okay.
So you, like my son and my daughter can't use the same one because they're two totally different types. But then you would have the courses for each person. And what's really cool is if you take the time to listen to one another's with that person and hear me coaching that type and hearing, oh, that's where they struggle, or, oh yeah, that's what you're really good at. And then asking good questions along the way. That's also what I do with marriages. I will sit with each couple, they're literally together on my screen, and I'll coach one. And the other person gets to listen. They don't get to chime in.
You are on mute.
And then, yes. And then we switch. And then we do that kind of back and forth for an hour and a half. And we bring it all together, what we learned. Like, okay, so what did you learn about each other? What did you learn about yourself? And how can we use this to enhance your communication, your level of love and trust, et cetera, et cetera.
Do you see so many light bulbs go off in those couple of sessions?
It's so great. And there's so much relief. Like now I finally understand. And they grow in their love and affirmation. And like, they're just in awe of the other person more. Okay. Like I had no idea. And they feel sorry sometimes. Like, I'm so sorry. I thought I was helping. I was destroying you.
Yeah. Would you suggest taking that with a child that, like for a mom who has a teenager they're struggling with or whatever, would doing the second course, could that be helpful?
What would be helpful probably first and foremost is, and it's always best for the parents to do their own work first.
Okay.
It's just in the same with marriage. Like if you're wanting to do this because you want to change your spouse, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah. But I mean, just like it could help you understand your kid better.
Yes.
But yeah, you're right though. You need to understand yourself.
Right. So if you understand yourself and then like for you, let's say, for example, if you're like, I want to know my daughter better. And then if you do my coaching course on type eight, you will gain so much more understanding of her world and really what you could be saying to her, because that's what I'm saying, right? I'm saying it as if I'm saying it to that type. Mm. And then you could use that information to then bless her with it and guide her. So yeah, for a parent to take the course and have a better and richer understanding, even if, because, you know, kids are probably not going to want to sit maybe through all five sessions, the parent can then become the coach and translate what I'm saying to them.
I love it.
Yeah.
I'm getting that when we're done here.
Awesome.
Yeah. So good. Okay. All right. So let me just ask you, we're almost out of time, but I have just one final question that I ask all my guests. Yeah. What is something these days that you just can't stop talking about? And you can't say the Enneagram.
Gosh, that is a good question, because that is so much of my life right now. I would probably say really just the gospel, you know. Okay. I mean, I know those two intertwine, but for me, it's, I just can't help but to speak the truth of the gospel and how it frees us. Like, we all feel stuck. We all feel like we run into walls. We all feel confused, you know, at different points, or we get irritated. And yet the gospel is the one thing that always brings clarity and freedom and peace and assurance that transcends personality, circumstances, whatever. And so I'd probably say that would be, if I couldn't say the Enneagram, it would be that, because it's just so important for every aspect of life. So yeah, that's probably what I'd say.
Changes everything. Well, Beth, thank you so much. This is going to be really helpful. Yeah. And I hope everybody takes all the classes.
Yes, me too. Thank you so much, Emily.
Wasn't that fascinating? I really love the Enneagram, and Beth McCord is a really great resource. Let's talk about ways that we could struggle well this week based on what Beth said. Maybe you don't know anything about the Enneagram. This whole thing sounds brand new to you, but you're interested. There's lots of places you could find out which number you are. You can also go to Beth's site and take a free little test. Her website is called yourenneagramcoach.com. Maybe you already know your number, but you're interested in learning more. She has those two courses. She has Discovering You, where you get to learn broadly about all of the numbers and you get to learn about yourself, and then Exploring You is a deeper dive into your specific number. She was kind enough to offer a coupon code to Mom Struggling Well listeners at checkout. Use the code 10OFF, that's 10OFF, all one word, for a discount on any of those courses. And she wanted me to let you know that if you're interested in the first one, Discovering You, and the second one, Exploring You, Discovering You, the first one is inside of the second one. So if you would like both, just buy the second one and you'll get both. And again, her website is yourenneagramcoach.com. And I just saw on Instagram that Beth is also working on a marriage retreat with her husband using the Enneagram. I'm looking forward to hearing more about that. Okay, it's time to bring my sister Katie back to talk about what y'all are buying on Amazon using the Mom Struggling Well affiliate link. By the way, you can get to that link by going to amazon.com/shop/momstrugglingwell. And I really appreciate when you use it. It does help. Every little bit helps. Okay, so I found that, well, I don't ever know how to start this.
Do you want me to ask you?
Yes.
Hey, what you find on Amazon?
This was good. That was really good. Good asking.
I'm professional.
PB Fit peanut butter powder. Have you tried this peanut butter powder stuff?
I have not. I've seen it in stores.
I've seen it too, and I've never tried it either. I don't understand the point of the powder.
I don't know. Is there less oil in it? I mean, there must be.
There's less liquid.
Maybe it's less fat.
I don't know. Okay. Anyway, one person put a 1-star review, but all they wrote was love, .. What?
That's so bad. I think that happens a lot. Does that happen when people review you?
Well,
it's not happened where you've had a 1-star review, but people are like, this is amazing.
No.
Where people are confused.
Okay. I recently got a 3-star review, and I'm not sure that they didn't say why. I would love to know why. Like, just the practical. I'm not like obsessing over it.
I am
halfway. Halfway not. But I was just curious. Like a 3 and then no comment. Like there's nothing constructive that it can be done.
I understand. And if your brain doesn't work in a 3-star way, if your brain is only a 1 or a 5-star,
yes,
you just can't even comprehend.
It would never occur to me to not give a 5-star.
Right.
And if I wanted to give a 1-star, I'm not even going to do that because I don't care enough about it to give a 1-star.
Right.
So I think I'm a 5-star person. So, okay. But someone said, 1-star review. This product ruined our day. It resulted in, this is hysterical, intense aggressive moods, tachycardia, which is where your heart speeds up, and overpowering fatigue. All of that they're putting on this powdered peanut butter.
Is that the only thing they ate today? Because I don't believe that you can point the finger just at the powder.
Okay, so you're intensely aggressive, but also so tired. Which is it?
You're tired after all the aggression. That's natural.
Anyway, so interesting.
Yikes.
All right, let me pray for us. God, thank you that when you made us, you did really make us with different, unique personalities. Thank you that you delight in all the personalities, even if we, for the life of us, can't figure out some of our family members and friends. Lord, I thank you for tools like the Enneagram that help us to see one another with your eyes. Thank you for people like Beth who have made it something we can understand and we can see through the light of the gospel. If we persist in only looking at things through our own sunglasses, it's just not gonna go well for us. There's other viewpoints that are equally as valid, so I pray that you would help grow us in that way so that we can better love the people around us and have more grace for ourselves when we keep doing stuff we don't want to do. It helps us see our motivation. Lord, thank you for these moms. Thank you for their hearts for their kids. And I pray that you would comfort them and encourage them and strengthen them this week.